Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone. Well, back in September and October of last year, I did a series of segments for In the Green Outdoors about the various plants, animals, and other natural things that are associated with our U.S. presidents. Today, as our thoughts turn ever more wistfully and wishfully towards the green of springtime, I thought I'd devote today's program to mention some of our greenest presidents, those who, by practice or official decree, did what they could for the greening of America. So on June 30th, 1864, Congress passed a bill signed by President Abraham Lincoln that set aside Yosemite Valley and Mariposa Grove. It stated that the lands be held, quote, for public use, resort, and recreation, inalienable for all time. This was truly the birth of the national park concept, since it was the first time in history that land had been set aside purely for preservation and recreation for all people. On March 1, 1872, President Ulysses S. Grant signed the Yellowstone National Park Protection Act into law. This significant act established the concept, for sure, of a national park. As stated in the original legislation, the Yellowstone area in present-day Wyoming and Montana would be reserved and withdrawn from settlement, occupancy, or sale under the laws of the United States. Rather than developing the area for private industry or home construction, Yellowstone would be set aside as a public park or pleasuring ground for the benefit and enjoyment of the people. Unfortunately, creating the park did force out and displace the numerous indigenous tribes native to the region. All told, Grant is credited with preserving 2.2 million acres of parkland. In 1864, the grant signed by Lincoln was administered by the state of California until 1906, when Yosemite Valley and the Mariposa Grove of giant sequoias were ceded to the federal government and included in Yosemite National Park. On September 25, 1890, President Benjamin Harrison signed legislation establishing America's second national park. Created to protect the giant sequoia trees from logging, Sequoia National Park was the first national park formed specifically to protect a living organism. One week later, General Grant National Park was created and Sequoia was thereby enlarged. Yosemite National Park was designated by an act of Congress on October 1, 1890, making it the third national park in the United States after Yellowstone in 1872 and Sequoia in 1890. The Forest Reserve Act of 1891, signed by Benjamin Harrison, was an early legislative step towards federal conservation efforts. He preserved over 1,600,000 acres. By the late 1800s, influential leaders like George Bird Grinnell pushed for the creation of a national park. In 1910, he and others saw their efforts rewarded when President William Howard Taft signed the bill establishing Glacier National Park as the country's 10th national park. Environmental degradation due to logging and falling visitation numbers mobilized the public near Mammoth Cave to petition for national park status there. Multiple bills were introduced over the course of several years, with one finally being passed and signed into law by President Calvin Coolidge. Mammoth Cave was authorized as a national park in 1926, but not actually officially dedicated and opened until 1941. As I pointed out last September, few achievements were of more importance to Theodore Roosevelt than his work to conserve natural resources. He signed the Antiquities Act of 1906 into law, introducing federal protections for natural resources and historic sites, and established the U.S. Forest Service, along with the creation of five new national parks, placing more than 230 million acres of land under federal protection. Despite his unabashed taste for hunting, Roosevelt was undeniably a lover of nature, and may well be called our first environmentalist president. Under the 1906 Antiquities Act, a president can designate national monuments to protect areas of, quote, scientific, cultural, ecological, and historic importance. Throughout his presidency, Roosevelt used executive action, like no other president before him, to reach his conservationist goals. Roosevelt ensured that Yellowstone National Park could not be exploited for commercial goals and established over 50 national bird refuges through his executive action. He would go on to found the U.S. Forest Service and create the first 18 national monuments, including Muir Woods, Grand Canyon, and Devil's Tower. On August 25, 1916, President Woodrow Wilson signed the act that created the National Park Service. As part of the Department of the Interior, the National Park Service was responsible for protecting the 35 national parks and monuments managed at that time by their department, as well as those to be established in the future. He is credited with preserving 12 million acres as parkland. Although Lyndon Johnson spent only one elected term as the nation's chief executive, he left an indelible mark on America's public lands heritage. Within 1 year of taking office, in 1964, he signed the Wilderness Act, establishing the framework to protect exceptional public lands at the highest level possible. That law immediately put 9 million acres of wild American lands into the National Wilderness Preservation System and has since protected 100 million more. If that had been his only conservation accomplishment, it would have sufficed. But President Johnson went on to establish the National Trails System and sign into law the Endangered Species Preservation Act and the Land and Water Conservation Act. The latter, originally proposed by John F. Kennedy for the protection and upkeep of public lands, authorized a fund that since then has helped add lands to Grand Canyon and Rocky Mountain National Parks, along with many other parks, refuges, and forests. Jimmy Carter's legacy includes expanding the national park system to include the protection of 104.3 million acres of Alaskan land. President Jimmy Carter established Wrangell St. Elias in Alaska, the nation's largest national park, spanning over 13 million acres. He preserved other vast expanses of endangered areas in Alaska, including Gates of the Arctic, Noatak National Preserve, and the Bering Land Bridge National Preserve. Bill Clinton, in 1994, ordered the preservation of wilderness and the enhanced protection of national forests when he established the Mojave National Preserve in California, protecting over 1.5 million of land. President Barack Obama protected more land, waters, and cultural sites than perhaps any other president, culminating with the Gold Butte in Nevada and Bears Ears in Utah national monuments, and the expansion of the California Coastal and Cascade Siskiyou in Oregon national monuments. He committed the U.S. to reduce greenhouse gas emissions under the Paris Climate Accord. He pioneered the Clean Power Plan to reduce emissions from coal-fired power plants under the Clean Air Act, and even released a rule to reduce methane pollution from oil and gas operations on public lands. President Obama also recognized that some places are simply too wild to drill. He undertook historic actions to finally cancel most of the remaining oil and gas leases located in the Badger Two Medicine area of Montana's Rocky Mountain Front. He canceled many leases in Colorado's Roan Plateau and Thompson Divide, and even blocked new drilling in much of the Arctic Ocean. In 2018, during his first administration, Donald Trump used the authority of the Antiquities Act to create the Camp Nelson National Monument. The Great American Outdoors Act, or GAOA, passed by the Trump administration in 2020, authorized up to $1.9 billion annually from 2021 to 2025 to address deferred maintenance on public lands. This funding was intended to improve infrastructure and expand recreation opportunities in national parks and other public lands. On March 3rd, 2020, Donald Trump called on Congress to send him a bill that fully and permanently funded the Land and Water Conservation Fund to restore and upgrade our national parks. The Great American Outdoors Act that I mentioned a moment ago passed under the Trump administration in March 2020 and was an historic investment in the protection and sustainment of our public lands and Bureau of Indian Education. The Great American Outdoors Act established the National Parks and Public Land Legacy Restoration Fund to address overdue maintenance needs. It also permanently authorized funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, a separate one aimed at safeguarding our natural areas and cultural heritage. Prior to the passage of the Great America Outdoors Act, funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund relied on annual congressional appropriations. Revenues were to come from energy development to provide up to $1.9 billion a year for 5 years in the National Parks and Public Land Legacy Restoration Fund and provide needed maintenance for critical facilities and infrastructure for our national parks, forests, wildlife refuges, recreation areas, and American Indian schools. It also was to use royalties from offshore oil and natural gas to permanently fund the Land and Water Conservation Fund in the amount of $900 million a year to invest in conservation and recreation opportunities across the country. In fiscal year 2025, the Department of the Interior proposes to allocate $681.9 million for permanent LWCF programs, including $313 million for federal land acquisition, $360.8 million for grant programs, and $8 million for a new LWCF tribal land acquisition program. As one of his final official acts, President Joe Biden on January 7th of this year signed proclamations that create the Chuckwalla National Monument and the Satitla Highlands National Monument, thus protecting 848,000 acres of land in Southern California's eastern Coachella Valley. The Chuckwalla National Monument covers more than 624,000 acres south of the Joshua Tree National Park in Southern California and includes sacred sites important to five groups of indigenous peoples and 50 rare species of plants and animals, including the Chuckwalla lizard. The Chuckwalla Monument is part of a corridor of protected lands stretching about 600 miles west through a total of close to 18 million acres in California, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah that the White House is calling the Moab to Mojave Conservation Corridor. At the same time, Biden protected the waters of the East Coast, the West Coast, Alaska's northern Bering Sea, and the large body of water that I will not name that is embraced by Florida's west coast and the eastern edge of Mexico. While there is currently little interest among oil companies in drilling in those areas, the new designation will protect them into the future, theoretically anyway. Noting that nearly 40% of Americans live in coastal communities, Biden said the minimal fossil fuel potential was not worth the risks that drilling would bring to the fishing and tourist industries, as well as to environmental and public health. This most recent addition set a record for the most land and waters conserved by any president. In total, during his 4 years in office, Biden protected 674 million acres of land and waters through monuments and other designations. Conservation is a complex topic. The development of national parks has not been positive for everyone. Many national parks were created by forcibly displacing the indigenous stewards who had occupied the land for ages. Several parks in the Jim Crow era were segregated, including Hot Springs, Shenandoah, and the Great Smoky Mountains. Today, some parks are working to restore cultural ties and partner with Native communities for conservation efforts. There are now more than 80 co-stewardship agreements between indigenous tribes and communities and National Park Service sites, featuring groups like the Ancestral Lands Conservation Corps and cultural programs and projects at parks like Acadia, Grand Canyon, and Glacier Bay. Well, today, this was by no means a complete compilation of presidential acts that preserve our treasured open spaces, but I'm afraid we're out of time. While many of us are feeling stressed and helpless in this frightening new world that we have fallen into, raising even a little of our own food can breed a needed feeling of self-empowerment. And while, due to current administrative decree, our national parks may no longer be what we have taken for granted for so long, Ohio does have 8 National Park Service sites, two national trails, a heritage area, and additional national sites that we can visit. In conclusion, this is Carol Kelly saying, give yourself a break. Plan now to visit as many as you can soon, since things are always much better in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.